Willkommen.
And bienvenue.
I'm Shelby.
And I'm Finley. And this is Bravo to Broadway, your go-to podcast for all things Bravo.
And all things Broadway.
All right, Shelby, let's get into it. What is your rant of the week?
My rant of the week is the homophobic cult member that we have put into the Supreme Court. And she was sworn in by a sexual predator with the other sexual predator who is also on the Supreme Court. So I'm starting this episode off pretty harshly.
But nothing is untrue. Everything you're saying is true and like provably true. So we can't be sued for libel. If anyone listening disagrees with us, because she is a member of People of Praise. Clarence Thomas did rape Anita Hill, and Kavanaugh did mess around with the professor. I'm blanking on her name. Oh my gosh. I want to call her Coney Barrett, but it's not right.
It's not Coney Barrett. Coney Barrett is the.
It's something with a B, though. Judge. It's something. Blasey Ford. Christine, yeah. Blasey Ford. Yeah.
That was bad that we could not remember her name.
But it just goes to show that women don't make rape claims to get famous.
Nope. And so now we've got this homophobe who...
doesn't even know the First Amendment.
Well, no. But she also, like, clerked for all the judges. And then, like, there's, like, two other judges who came out, you know, during this confirmation process. Like, they, like, published some piece and were like, you know, we don't support gay rights. And it's like, well, that sucks because people have rights. I'm not sure. I just, and okay, I'm kind of leaving Amy Coney, whatever her name is. I haven't been saying her name right at all. Barrett.
ACB. Her name's ACB.
ACB. Barrett. Okay, first of all, Barrett was confirmed in just, like, I don't know, it was, like, a very short amount of time, only, like...
it was, like, less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, and usually Supreme Court confirmations, like, at least in modern times, take, like, 60 days. And she was nominated just 38 days before the general election. And the Republicans back in 2016, when a way more moderate judge was nominated, were like, no, it's too close to the election, when it was, like, 240 days away. So... the massive spoon of hypocrisy we just had to swallow. I hope we vote every single one of them out.
Yeah, if people in South Carolina don't vote Lindsey Graham out, I will never visit Myrtle Beach again. That is a threat.
But, I don't want to go now. Yeah. Like, also, why are people so bothered about people getting married and being in love? The world needs more love and less of your hate. So that's that.
Well, Shelby, don't you know that hate makes the world go around? Clearly. That's what all the songs say.
That's literally all the songs, all the music is about the fact that we need more hate in our lives. And your religion preaches hate.
Also, what really gets me is she can't separate religion from law. And that's a huge problem for
me. That's okay. Like, if we're gonna like put the colonizers in our history on a pedestal and call them pilgrims... if the pilgrims came over here looking for, like, fleeing religious prosecution because the government said, whatever, the government said, you have to follow this religion. So I'm sorry if I can't, well, actually, I'm not sorry. I'm not swallowing the pill of the government saying, and, like, people in the government saying, you have to follow this religious belief. I'm just not. There's too much hypocrisy in the world, Finley. I can't handle it.
And beyond that, like, this is coming from a practicing Christian. I will go out on a limb and say I am not, but Shelby
Oh,
is.
I am. I am a member of a Christian church. And, like, there's a big wide spread between what I believe and what Barrett believes. And, yeah. You know, it's...
well, you're not part of a cult that refers to women as handmaids, so...
oh, like, do they really?
If people are confused...
I thought that was a meme.
Handmaid's Tale is literally based on People of Praise.
Oh, I thought that was a meme.
No.
I need a drink.
I need several.
Actually, that's what... what was it? Whenever she was confirmed earlier this week, I was like my, I read that. I wasn't even checking the news because I knew I wasn't going to want to see it. And like, that's my mental like self-care was like, I know this is going to come out. I don't want to see it today. Like, I know it's going to happen. Yeah. I'll find out tomorrow.
Support it.
But my phone decided.
Ignorance is bliss sometimes.
Yeah. Now my phone decided I needed to know and I got an alert. And so then I was like, cool.
Yeah.
Whenever I feel like crying, I have a playlist called Gay Stuff. And I started dancing to LGBTQ artists. So.
Well, and the one thing that I think that we would be remiss if we didn't mention about Amy Coney Barrett is, let's acknowledge the reason they pushed her through is because they know Trump is not going to win this election without the interference of the Supreme Court.
Nope.
If he does, I will eat my words. But I genuinely don't think he will. And Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, and I want to say Kennedy were the three lawyers in charge of doing the work for Bush v. Gore.
Oh, really?
On the side of Bush.
Ooh, that's very interesting.
It's one of only three cases she worked on.
Yeah, first of all, let's also talk about the fact that she's only worked on three cases. And she's
she's been in the top court of the land.
Wouldn't we want someone who's practiced a little bit more? I don't know. I mean, do you want me swimming
it's
for your
ludicrous.
Gold medal in the Olympics? Like, do you want me doing your brain surgery? I don't think so. Do you want me? Okay.
Yeah, we're not qualified.
Like, I just... they don't even let me teach kids. Like...
Yeah, it's a tough situation all around. I just want everyone to be aware of the blatant corruption and hypocrisy. I also think it's important to note that just because it is election week and this will be coming out right before election day, if you've not already voted, you need to vote Biden. And I'm going to give you a list of reasons why.
Our entire podcast up till now.
Well, beyond that, Nixon was impeached and he resigned from office, right? You want to know, he's literally... referred to, I can't talk, as one of the most corrupt presidents in American history. Yeah. You could argue it's Jackson, but Jackson didn't get in a lot of trouble for it. Nixon did. Nixon's team and all the people he appointed and everything had 73 federal indictments against them. Total. 73. That sounds like a lot. You want to know what Trump's number is? 213.
What?
Of his team. Yeah. 213 Ooh. Federal indictments of people that he has been or Ooh. Currently is associated with.
But everybody needs to be
his
super
own
worried.
Lawyers.
Yeah, I was saying, but everybody needs to be super worried about Hunter Biden's laptop.
Okay, also Ivanka and Jared Kushner do exactly what Hillary did. If y'all want to say, but her emails, let's talk about Ivanka's emails.
Right?
You want to talk about Hunter Biden's emails? Let's talk about Ivanka's. Let's talk about the fact that Donald Trump Jr. is talking about running for president as if it's a freaking job opportunity. No! Y'all are not qualified. Go away. Go back to the mob you came from because we all know your mafia.
Yep.
We all know
we
it.
We all know it. They finally got someone in the White House. Gotta love
it's
that organized
beyond.
Crime.
Well, real quick, before we finish out, I do want to just throw in another reason not to vote for Trump. So, first of all, I've been seeing two things. I've been seeing a lot saying, oh my God, Biden's a pedophile. Don't vote for him. He's creepy with kids. First of all, let's acknowledge the fact that he's lost a child and, you know, it's... He was comforting his grandchildren in the picture y'all are posting, and it makes me crazy that you're going to take a grief-stricken moment between a grandfather and a child, one who's just lost his son, one who's just lost his dad, and use it to cry pedophile when Trump has literal cases against him open right now that he is refusing to send his DNA in for, where he raped children. Let's just completely ignore his ties to Jeffrey Epstein. He's got 26 open sexual assault cases. Now, my second thing. Whew, I need to calm down. But my second thing is, man doesn't pay his bills. Okay? These campaign rallies he's been throwing, you want to talk about all the people, all his followers that he left stranded out in freezing temperatures, six of whom had to go to the hospital in critical condition for hypothermia in Omaha, Nebraska, at his most recent rally? Yeah, the reason the buses left, supervisor has come out. They weren't paid.
Ooh.
The Trump campaign refused to pay them. They said they would pay them upon arrival. Once they got there, they didn't pay them. A bunch of other bus companies reached out because Trump still owes money for 6 rallies from 2016 that he has not paid for to security firms, bus firms, etc. And they all said, hey, y'all aren't getting paid. You might as well go home. So they went home and left thousands of people stranded in the cold while old Orange Man flew away in his little Air Force One.
Well, because he doesn't have any money. He doesn't have any money. He's so bankrupt.
The man is broke.
He's broke.
The man has bankrupted so many companies. He's just a all-out con man. And that's why we don't call his supporters Republicans. We call them Trumpers. Because you're not Republicans. You're bowing down to a fascist populist dictator. Enjoy being on the wrong side of history. You're the ones that would have supported Hitler.
Mic drop. I have to say it because this is an audio recording.
I'm so upset. You have to vote Biden. And if you can, phone bank for him on election day, because this is just crazy. I will be phone banking all weekend. So if this podcast is late, I'm not sorry. I will be phone banking.
She's doing her duty. I'm traveling, which is not the best idea.
You're coming to see me.
I am coming to see you. Well, I'm in town for a wedding, but byproduct, I'm coming to see you.
The wedding doesn't matter. Unimportant. It's just 3 days. I'll have you the rest of the days.
The rest of the days.
No, not even. I mean, we're splitting the time fairly. Everybody gets to see Shelby.
Everybody gets a piece of me.
So, all right, let's tone it back down. Let's take a deep breath.
Down.
Little woo-saw breathing. And let's get into Below Deck Med.
Oh my gosh, I could not handle it. I could not handle it. And I don't know why, but I had to turn it down and just watch the captions. Like,
Shelby doesn't do conflict.
Not well, no. And it's like, I do.
Shelby will literally plug her ears and put her head down in the middle of class if there is conflict going on.
And hum. Loudly. It's happened before.
She does not tolerate it.
If it's a situation where I don't have control over the conflict, like it's like two other people in control of the conflict and like I can't do anything, yeah, I get like really, really uncomfortable and I just like check out. So I had to turn the volume
down.
Yeah,
one time in college, I almost got into a fight in class. It's, you know, there was a physical threat, but I didn't do anything. actually, I don't even think I actually threatened her.
No.
I just wanted to.
You, like, thought it very
but,
hard.
Yeah, everyone was very aware that it was about to become physical. And I just remember Shelby, I asked her afterwards, because I kind of, like, checked out and didn't really remember what I had said to her. And Shelby was like, oh, I don't know. I had my ears plugged and my head down.
Yeah. Yeah, just, like, in your, like, I realize that it's not, like, appropriate or the adult response, but I don't care. I don't have control over it. I get anxious and my head goes down. Yay, mental illness. Anywho, let me tell you,
We support therapy.
We support therapy. I think I got therapy shortly thereafter. But I'm getting better.
You did, yes.
You know, I would never put myself, like, I work with kids, and I would never, like, if I couldn't handle conflict appropriately now, I would never put myself in a situation where I might have to. But yeah.
No, you've definitely gotten a lot better.
But yeah, for whatever reason, this episode, like, I had to turn the volume down and just watch the captions. I couldn't listen to it. I was like, I was just cringing so hard.
Yeah. And so this is why me and Shelby are best friends. Shelby, like, runs from conflict, hates it. Won't pay attention to it, turns the volume down. I'm, like, turning the volume up going, get him, Jess! Get him! Get him! Get him!
Yeah. Yeah. When Jess started yelling is when I turned my volume down. And not because I don't like Jess. I, you know, it's cool that she stands up for herself and her beliefs. But I was like, yikes. And I turned the volume down.
Well, let's get into it. Let's talk about why Jess was yelling. So, I thought it was really interesting that she actually, on land, runs a weed company.
Yeah.
Out in California. Like, she actually has stock in a company.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, is involved when she's on land. I thought that her perspective was really interesting about, like, yeah, you could totally unscrew the top and put whatever you want in it. And she says, like, oh, people don't do that in Malia and Sandy. Like, no one does that. Lots of people do that.
Lots of people do that. Like,
it's like a refillable jewel pod.
Yeah.
You know, like, you get whatever oil you like, and you just keep the cartridge because it's got the heating coil.
Yeah.
And it's cheaper to just buy oil rather than buying more cartridges.
Yup.
So you can say what you want about that, but I think that her opinion is the most valid on the subject of all of them, quite frankly, because she's literally in that business.
Yeah, in that
industry. And you could say she's just defending Hannah, but Jess is, like, best friends with Bugsy. They hang out all the time.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, they hang out in Florida. I see them on each other's Instagram page. Well, I don't follow Bugsy, but I see Bugsy on Jess's Instagram, like, all the time.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, they recreate each other's Instagram posts and, like, roast each other 24/7. So, I don't think that she's just super pro-Hannah. I think she is upset that her industry is being demonized that way.
Yeah, which is understandable. I would be really frustrated as well.
However, I understand that in some parts of Spain, because I do have a friend who went to Spain, in some parts of Spain, weed is legal. I'm not sure what parts that is, because, you know, Spain has that whole, like, basically civil war going on.
Fun times politically for everyone.
Yeah, it's not violent yet, but Catalonia definitely wants to be its own. Anyway, off topic. But anyway, I know that it's somewhat legal in Spain. I have never been to Spain. I don't actually know the laws of Spain. But what I do want to know, because Jess admitted to having a pen on board too, is, and Hannah said, oh, it's just left over in my bag from LA. Who is flying with this stuff? Who is thinking they can get a vape pen through the airport?
Yeah.
With all the scanning and stuff? How are y'all doing this? Like, you literally go through an x-ray machine. You can't even it up the keister. Like,
sorry.
I don't understand.
Where is it going? I don't know. I am the wrong person to ask, Finley.
Shelby and I are just too innocent to comment on these things, honestly. Because I'm just like, how would you not be so terrified of getting caught? Like,
I mean, yeah, I would be absolutely terrified of getting caught. I also don't smoke. So, I'm like, absolutely.
And yet you live in a legal state.
I know. It is hysterical. I moved to Oregon, but I don't partake.
You also have, like, tapestries that would make it seem as though you partake.
Well, it's really,
like, your
cool
personality
jellyfish.
Is very much
I have a tapestry of, like, jellyfish in the forest.
It's, like, technicolor. It is very,
it's
very trippy.
Yeah, it's very
it's trippy.
I love it.
But yes, yeah, Shelby's pretty much stone cold sober, so that's fun.
I'm pretty boring.
You would just expect her to be fun based on, like, everything about her, but no.
Nope.
No. Well, what did you think about them saying that Hannah provided the prescription within 12 hours of getting off the boat?
See, I didn't know how to take that because there was no tone associated with it, right? So it was like 12 hours after getting off the boat. Does that mean you're suspicious that she had the subscription and that it took her 12 hours to get you the prescription? Or does that mean
so
that it's within 12 hours?
Yeah, Hannah said, like, I got it within hours of getting off the boat. I had it to y'all. And in my head, I'm thinking, okay, her doctor's in Australia. There's a huge time difference there.
It's like 24 hours, yeah.
Well, with Spain, it's only like 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, it's 12 hours from here, so it's probably only like 6 hours. But if she was kicked off the boat in the morning, right, at like 9 or 10 a.m., it would already be after hours for the doctor in Australia.
Oh, yeah, they would have had
to wait
for the
next day. So to get anything sent back, yeah. If the prescription on the box wasn't enough, and I love that she had receipts. Like, she had those pictures printed out. She's like, this is the actual box, and here's the side that you all conveniently decided not to show.
Right? I loved that. That was hysterical. I still can't get over her mug from the last episode. I need a Valium.
Yeah. And I really, I got really annoyed with them saying, like, oh, you can't work on Valium, you can't work on Valium, because Hannah's right. It's like ADHD medicine. If somebody who doesn't need it takes it, it messes you up. If somebody who's legitimately in the middle of a panic attack takes a 5 milligram prescription, that is like a super low dose for those of you who aren't familiar with anxiety medications. It's gonna just reset you to normal.
Yeah.
It's not gonna affect everyone in the way that they're making it out to seem. And then Malia's like, I have mild anxiety too. If you don't have a diagnosis, quit saying it. Quit saying it. You don't know what anxiety is. You mean you get stressed out sometimes.
Well, and it's like, too, if you have mild anxiety to the point where, like, you don't require a medication or for whatever reason don't have a medication, then you also don't understand, like, it's different if you are using the medication. Like, if you, like, need the medication, have the medication, it's different.
And I'm sorry, but nobody that has anxiety would look at somebody in the middle of a panic attack and refer to it as a freak out.
That, too. Like, a freak out? I'm sorry. What? No.
She was hyperventilating in her bathroom. She wasn't having a freak out.
Yeah.
And to Hannah's point about it not being on the boat at that point in time, where Malia's like, yeah, I did find it. Then why didn't you report it then, honey? Your stories
that
aren't lining
the
up.
Other thing. Yeah, her story kept changing. Like, to be fair, everybody's story kept changing. But, like, if she found it and knew it was there, then she didn't report it. She waited until, what, like, a couple days later?
Yeah, the next charter.
Yeah, I was very confused on... And I mean, yeah, the first time I watched it, I told Finley, too, I was very confused on the timing of it all. It is very suspicious.
Well, and Malia saying, like, I went to production. Our hands were tied behind our backs. I felt Jess so hard in the moment that she yelled at Malia, we've all heard your side of the story. We've seen it on social media. You've said it 10 times. We don't need to keep hearing your side of the story.
Oh, my God. It was a thought that went through my head was, you know, like if you were playing a drinking game to this and you were like taking a shot every time Malia said maritime law, you would be dead.
Dead. Like alcohol, like, poisoning. Done.
Done. Donezo. Yeah. It was really annoying. Actually, Malia, I turned it down primarily because I was like, Malia, shut up. But...
And I want to point out again that Malia is saying, you took it that night. Again, we heard a bottle open. We heard her pop a bottle and pour something out of a bottle. The Valium came in a sheet.
Yeah. And that was, it didn't Hannah say, like, in the episode alike, that it was like Advil PM?
Yeah, and Malia is like, you still can't take that.
What? It's like, okay, cool. Cool.
I really appreciated what Jess said about Malia. You need to figure out how to frame your argument because it doesn't make sense. Because the whole thing was Hannah kept saying, I admit it. I should have registered it.
Yeah.
Period. I'm with you. However, what you did was suspect. And Malia's just like, well, it should have been registered. It should have been registered. It's maritime law. Ah! Like,
it was
just admit
suspect.
That you're... Oh, I have so many cuss words going through my head, but I can't think of a good one to call her. I can't think of a good non-cuss word to call her. But Malia is a cuss word. Let's just leave it at that. Malia's a bleep. Malia's a very long bleep.
Yeah.
Like, just, I really, really can't stand. If you want to be a snitch, as a snitch, own it. I will admit, I am the biggest rat. Do not tell me anything, especially if I don't like you. Because my mouth gets to blabbing real quick. And I will call the cops in a hurry. Unless you are a person of color. I try not to call the cops on people of color because I know that that can escalate. But, yeah. Like, if you're a rat, just own it. And be like, yeah, I'm a rat. I didn't think it was cool. I told on her. She was being a jerk, so it happened. Own it.
Yeah.
Just own it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, good. She was being whiny about the rooms. I was mad about it because I wanted to room with my boyfriend. And I had this ammo, so I used it. That's all you have to say. And people would respect you so much more.
Yup. Because you'd be owning it. Whatever.
As Lisa Rinna says, own it! Own it! Nice. Just own it!
Nice callback.
I think my favorite moment of this reunion, so my favorite moment of last week's was Hannah's mug that said, I need a Valium. My favorite moment of this one was Andy losing complete control of the group and just being like, guys, 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 and then banging his head onto the table, like, really hard.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. I had it muted during that part, but it was funny. It was hysterical. I turned the volume up for a second, heard all, because I couldn't figure out what was going on, heard all the yelling, and went, oh, no, never mind.
Yeah, Andy felt the same way.
Yeah.
But switching gears, I really enjoyed what they did with Tom. Because they gave him, like, the most unflattering montage ever.
Thank goodness.
And I really appreciated it.
I didn't see any of the episodes with Tom as the chef. Because, honestly, I didn't care. But he looked like a total nightmare. And for, like, Sandy to be going there, like, that's normal. That's what I expect. Expect better.
Yeah, and Tom saying there's something wrong with you if you are calm and happy at work.
I
disagree.
I don't want to work with people who are cursing at me. I never worked like a service like that. I used to work retail. But like regardless, if your boss or your supervisor or someone who's like higher than you in the hierarchy is cursing at you, leave. You deserve better than that.
File an HR complaint and run.
Like,
also, I want to point out that Captain Lee, which I just respect him so much more because he's honest. Like I said, this is my problem with Sandy and Malia. If you want to be like that, just own it. Captain Lee admits, Kate worked for me for 7 years. She gets special treatment. That's how it works. That's how I work. I can trust her. I know what she means when she says stuff. We hang out outside of work. That's my girl. I'm going to have her back no matter what. But Sandy does that without acknowledging it and pretends she doesn't. And that's my problem with her. It's fine to play favorites if you admit you're doing it.
Yeah.
Because then everyone knows what to expect from you.
It all comes down to expectation management.
It really does.
That's
and Captain Lee was on Watch What Happens Live, and he said that he would hire Kiko of everyone on the crew. If he were to hire anyone, he would hire Kiko.
Really? I love that.
Yep. And Kiko was like, oh, thank you. And then these people have the audacity to say that Kiko had an ego for not asking for help.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that was rich. That was a load of jellyfish. Like, No, I didn't see a full episode with Kiko, but I saw him on the reunion last week, and he is just the sweetest person. He might still be growing his skills, and who isn't? If you're perfect in your field, quit. You should always be looking to grow and develop as a person. Sorry, that's the teacher in me.
But also, he did ask for help. Sandy admitted that she was, helping him with dishes every night and talking to him about everything. So, now you're going to say his ego was too big. He didn't ask for help. What? He got fired because he asked Hannah for help.
Yup.
it was just rich. Just rich. And then I also just need to point out that Tom and Malia were sitting there acting like they were together.
But they weren't together. Oh my gosh.
He had just cheated on her.
He did?
Yes.
And
she had just found out that he had cheated on her. That's why they were not together. And he's like, we're monogamous when we're apart.
No, apparently you're not. Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. He cheated on her?
Yes, that's why they broke up.
I buy it. I see it.
I just think he wants to be Gordon Ramsay so bad, and only Gordon Ramsay can be Gordon Ramsay. You're just a cheap knockoff. Sorry.
Yeah, and he cheated on her. I would not let him near me with a 10-foot pole. Maybe that's
He's
my own
He's really
baggage.
Unattractive.
He is. I mean, I'm not gonna, yeah. No, I am. He's not my cup of tea.
I'm just saying, if you're on reality TV, odds are you're attractive. This dude...
You know, there's gotta be, like, statistics.
Nothing's different 100%. Strokes for different folks, I guess.
Not gonna yuck someone's yum.
Yeah, it's, Tom's a whole big mess. Basically.
I'm just surprised that they were, Malia, like, sharing whining. A Zoom camera, sitting so close together.
What was the first time? That was when she found out. Yeah, she went on Watch What Happens Live, like, a few weeks ago, but it was after they had filmed that.
Oh, after the reunion?
No, it was, like, it was one of the, like, episodes leading up to the finale. She did Watch What Happens Live, but they had already filmed the reunion. Because, you know, they filmed, like, okay. A month in advance. Yeah. And he, like, Andy asked, are you with Tom? Because y'all don't follow each other on social media. And she was like, no. And he was like, well, there's rumors that he cheated on you. Is that true? And she was just like, Yeah, it is. I wasn't going to say anything, but yes, it is. And I found out when we were filming.
Oh my gosh.
Like, the day they were filming. Yeah. I don't know if she found out before or after, but, like,
what?
If your boyfriend's cheating on you, you kind of have a suspicion.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you do have, an inkling, usually. But yeah. What a tool.
And then he has the nerve to whine about social media backlash.
Yeah! No, dude.
I'm sorry, if you aren't the villain, you don't get backlash.
And if you don't, if you don't want to be in the public eye, don't sign up for the show. Like, don't say,
yeah, and then Malia,
yes, you
like, blaming herself for that.
Yeah,
that's what really got me. You could tell he manipulated her into that.
Yeah. No, if you're on the show, then you have agreed to be on the show. Like, if you're putting, like...
As much as she was talking about him... Before he was even on it, when you're in the public eye, like, me and Shelby talk about things that we don't want brought up. If he didn't want to be on TV, he would have said, don't talk about me. And Malia would have been like, I have a boyfriend, but I can't talk about her.
Yeah.
The same way Rob never named his girlfriend that he had the open relationship with. Like, if he didn't want to be a part of it, he would have never come to visit her. Nope. He would have never, you know, he was trying to get famous, and then he was mad because he came in with the villain.
Yep.
And this was the best part for me that I didn't even realize until I saw a meme afterwards, and I don't remember who the meme was from. I'm sorry, I can't give you credit. But did you notice, just to talk about color theory, because we are going to talk about it with Wizard of Oz anyway, who were the only two people not wearing white at the reunion?
Oh, I absolutely noticed that. That was hysterical. Yeah.
Like, blatantly, y'all are the villains.
Yeah.
You're wearing black. And you're the only two wearing black.
Yep.
And Malia's earrings, I just took issue with them in general. How are they not affecting the mic? They were so big. And she's so small.
Yeah.
I also took issue with Bugsy's barrettes, whatever was going on up there, but whatever.
That's not a new thing. You usually take issue with whatever Bugsy is wearing.
It's so tacky. I get that it's her personality, but it's so tacky. There's a way to do it and look good. Ask any of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. You can go over the top and look good, but you have to, like, manage the look and not overwhelm it. And it's just, like, she does too much sometimes with her fashion.
Yeah.
But whatever. I don't have to look at her, so it's fine.
That's all that. I mean, yeah.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to job. The Jess and Rob drama.
Jess and Rob.
I actually appreciated the fact that Jess was trying to keep things under wraps at the beginning until Rob just kept pushing her and pushing her and pushing her.
Yeah.
Because she was trying to be nice to him. And he just is a sociopath. Like.
Yes. Yeah, I don't like him. I get a sense off him that I'm not down with. No.
Did I tell you what he did to Madison? Have I talked about that yet? From Below Deck Sailing?
I don't know who Madison is, so no.
Okay, so he had a thing with Madison from Below Deck Sailing Yacht, and she was one of the stews there, and I loved her. But apparently it was, like, word for word everything he had said to Jess. And the exact same playbook of, like, making future plans, going on vacation, and then ruining the trips, and, you know, turning it off and on, and making you feel like you had done something wrong, and you were crazy, and he goes for girls that don't tend to have relationships or fall hard for people, like, people that are really guarded, and she called him a narcissist in empath's clothing.
Ooh, interesting.
And then his ex that he claims he was in the open relationship with,
yeah,
her and Jess are friends. She's on Jess's side, like, being on Instagram and stuff. Like, they're on each other's stories, like, talking how he's legitimately crazy to the women that he dates. And he makes you feel crazy.
It's all, like,
because
yeah, that
he just gaslights so much.
That's, like, my biggest, like, I don't know, red flag. It's bigger than a pet peeve. Like, if I feel like you are making me feel crazy, we're done.
Yeah.
If there's gaslighting, like, any at all, we're done. That's, like, the biggest red flag. I'm not going to mess with you. It's just done.
Yeah.
Nope.
It's bad. And then everyone who thinks Jess is crazy, like, it makes my blood boil. Because, I don't know. It's just whenever you've been in a situation where you're being gaslit, it's really easy to recognize it in other people. And, like, everyone just thinks Jess is crazy. Jess is jealous. Malia said the most crap about Jess. And it's just like, oh, sorry you've never been abused, Malia. Lucky you and your freaking privilege. Like, it just really made me mad that they were all laughing, making fun of Jess. And then, lo and behold, three other girls come out about Rob.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing to them.
It's a pattern, and unfortunately, whenever women are getting called crazy all too often, we never look at the men who are making them seem crazy. Like,
yeah, one thing that they all accused him of is, like, dog whistling like crazy. So he would say, like, he knew something would really bother you, so in a group he would just casually mention it, and you would get really reactionary to it, but they, like, everyone around you would be like, wow, why are you being crazy? And it's like, because he just said something he knew was really triggering to me, but none of y'all know that because you don't see it.
Yeah.
So I just look crazy for the reaction.
Yep.
But yeah, it's a whole mess. And then whenever he was like, I don't regret anything. Like, okay, sociopath. Okay.
All right, cool then. Awesome. You made no mistakes. Love that. Like, you don't regret anything of your interaction?
You don't regret DMing Aisha?
Yeah.
Not,
like,
even that?
You don't regret anything? Nothing?
First of all, I hate girls like Aisha. I hate them. They know what they're doing. They know how their actions are being perceived. And they just want to be like, oh, no, I'm just cool. I'm just one of the guys. I'm just a cool girl. Sorry that it works you up. And it's like, no, you're being disrespectful. And you aren't acknowledging a relationship. And for her to be like, I never got that DM. What? Like, her voice gets so high, you know she's lying. And then she's like, I just want to say, she was like, I'm 100% sure that I don't remember. Ma'am, shut up.
Yeah, like, I wasn't really sure who to believe or what to believe with the DM story.
I think that Jess and Rob owning it means it happened.
Yeah, which just makes it look really weird that Aisha wouldn't.
Especially if her response was to say, aren't you in a relationship?
Yeah, if it was just like an innocent response, then it wouldn't have been a big deal. Just be like, yeah, he sent me that and this was my response.
But also, you don't just send that out of nowhere. There's a conversation that leads up to that kind of discussion.
And that kind of, like, familiarity. Like, I wouldn't, like, any of my coworkers, I would not send that to a coworker. Like, you've got to have a certain relationship for that to be an appropriate text message. Although I get the sense it was never an appropriate text message.
No. And then they tried to play it off as just banter.
No.
And the brother-sister relationship. I'm sorry, I do not ask my brother if he's taken any big lately.
I would never ask my brother, and my brother would never ask me. There are things we don't talk about.
There are things that only people from Alabama talk about.
We are from Georgia.
And I just want to point out, incest is illegal in Georgia, but not Alabama. So
yeah, you have to get your blood tested joke. And everything to make sure that you're not related familially when you get married.
Yeah, Georgia takes that stuff seriously.
Well, just because
I guess because we're so close to Alabama.
Just because it's happened.
I mean,
so
no
often.
Shade to Alabama, but
oh no, 100% shade to Alabama. Birds turn around and
fly upside down. Yeah, I was going to say that, and then I was like, actually...
poop on Alabama.
Well, you know what? Their football makes up for the incest, I guess. I wonder if that's how they get such good players. The inbreeding makes you stronger? Is that how it works?
I think it works the opposite way, technically speaking.
I know, it was a joke, Shelby.
Oh. I was about to be like, no, that's not how science works.
No, King Tut was disabled because of incest. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Also, Richard III, the one they found in the parking garage.
It's all in good nature.
A lot of weird incestual history facts for you on this podcast.
It's taken a turn.
They say white people don't have culture. What do you call that?
Yikes. Yikes is what I reply to that.
Honestly, though, it's really been the white countries that have engaged so heavily in it. But that's because of the monarchies. We blame everything on kings and queens and dictators.
It's always
which
their fault.
Leads us into Trump again. No, I'm joking.
I like how we
no
made
incest.
That circle.
Trump is not incestuous. Well, actually, you know what? I'm not going to say that. There's some very creepy pictures of him with Ivanka. He has said that he wants to sleep with his daughter. So again, vote Biden. It's a real quote, Shelby.
I know it's a real quote. I've heard it. The conversation that like we've had or you've had with yourself in the past 5 minutes is just kind of hysterical.
I'm spiraling. I'm fine, but I'm spiraling.
You're fine, but you're spiraling. What was that word? Spiraling.
It doesn't matter. I'll edit it out. No, I won't. Okay.
I need to drink my latte. It is not a pumpkin spice latte. I am basic. It is a vanilla latte.
And it is from Starbucks.
It
so
is from Starbucks.
They want to sponsor us.
No, it's so
I love
bad.
A pink drink.
It's like there's so many coffee shops out here, and yet I choose to go to Starbucks. And only because I can pay with my phone and get points. It's so bad.
It's same, though. I literally... It's sad how often... I get a free drink. Okay. It occurs far sooner. It occurs multiple times a month.
Oh no, I'm not that frequent.
I go like every other day.
I'm jealous. I don't
that is my self-care is a pink drink.
See, if I want to go to Starbucks, I either have to go like get out of my car and go into the grocery store, or I have to drive into the next town. Which is what's bad.
Oh, yeah. See, I have one right outside my neighborhood. Like, at the intersection right outside my neighborhood, there is a Starbucks.
No, I have to drive a town over.
See, that's good. That helps.
Well,
the close proximity, I have a Zaxby's, and I've got a Starbucks. And my gym is also on that intersection, but that's the one that gets the least traffic from me, I'll be honest.
No, I live in a very small town.
I don't. I live in Atlanta. But anyway, since we're already talking about the, you know, idiot in charge.
Transition time.
Let's talk about populism.
Woo! Our favorite subject. So this week we did The Wizard of Oz, the 1939 film. Starring none other than Judy Garland, the light of my life, the joy of this earth, perfection in a human being. I say that about a lot of people, but yeah.
Judy Garland is great, though.
Yeah, I love her for a whole lot of reasons. The Wizard of Oz, I'm not going to explain it because I'm going to assume you have seen it because it is one of the greatest films of all time. Now, I will say that
it's actually, according to the Library of Congress, it is the most seen film in all of history.
Exactly. So if you haven't seen it yet, get on that. I'll let you debate with me how great it is, but you got to see it. It's important for your pop culture knowledge because I feel
like...
Yeah,
it's on a bunch of lists of movies you should watch before you're 15.
Yeah. Saw that on the Wikipedia page.
So did I.
But it is an important film. You know, it's on TV a couple times a year. Right now it's on HBO Max, but it usually makes the rounds, you know, through all the streaming services.
It's on Prime.
It's, you know, everything is based off of this film, right? Like, you've got Wicked, which is one of my favorite Broadway shows, which we'll probably do next season.
The Wiz,
which is massively awesome. Massively awesome. That doesn't work. The Wiz is awesome.
Oz the Great and Powerful.
It is, yeah. Oz Great and Powerful. There's the book series, Dorothy Must Die.
There's the book that The Wizard of Oz is based off of called The Wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, yep. There's the animated sequel.
There's a lot.
Like, there's a whole heck of a lot based on this film. And just, like, there's no place like home is, like, a line that, like, you could say anywhere and everyone understands it. And the Ruby Red Slippers.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow has so many covers done of it. Like, massively important.
Lions,
film.
Tigers, and bears. Oh, my.
I say that a lot.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, great.
Like, just
film.
For reference, the lion is my absolute favorite character.
Oh, really?
Yes. Whenever he comes out, he's rough. Rough. He's just so stupid. I love it so much. And he's like, put him up.
Yeah.
And then she, like, lightly taps him and he starts sobbing. I've never related to a character more.
I was gonna say, the Scarecrow is my favorite character.
Did you know he was supposed to be a love interest for Dorothy?
Yes, and I wish that he was, because honestly, before I even knew that, I had already picked up on the whole love interest aspect of it. But, oh, maybe I shouldn't spoil Wicked. I'll
well,
save
if
it.
You notice at the end, he's actually in the house as a person, too. He's the farmhand on their farm.
Well, all of them are. The Tin Man and
well,
the
yeah,
Lion
but...
are also.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, he's in the bedroom when she comes to, and he's, yeah, like, the closest one to her.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was definitely always a fan of him being the love interest for Dorothy, at least until... If we're accepting Wicked as canon, then my opinion changes. But if we're ignoring Wicked as canon, then the Scarecrow should definitely be Dorothy's love interest.
I think the lion should. He's just a great guy.
I don't know.
It's also like the Leo in me just loves the lion. And he's like the perfect example of a Leo with all the bravado and nothing to back it up.
It's pretty
like,
great.
We are just molten lava inside. The softest thing you could possibly be. Like, I have a brick wall and then it's just filled with like a down pillow on the inside. One of the most sensitive people ever, but I act like I'm not. And yeah, therefore, I am the lion. The lion is me.
The lion is you. So
Put him up.
All right, so let's get into it. What were your initial thoughts on The Wizard of Oz?
I really didn't want to watch it because I was like, I already know it. But then I watched it and I was like, oh yeah, munchkins are a thing. That's why you can't say munchkin on TV.
Yep.
Oh, can we say it in this podcast?
Oh, do we need to like edit that out?
The little people are my favorite part.
That's gonna require some research.
Yeah, because like MGM has a tight lock on that word. But the Lollipop Guild and the Lullaby League, I just need everyone to be aware. Yes, they're cute songs, but it's like fully about unionizing.
We
just for the
represent
record.
The Lollipop Guild.
Shelby, you got 10 seconds before we have to pay for that. This is an expensive one to pay for.
It is. It's like $225,000 every time they air it on TV.
Wow.
Yeah.
I do appreciate the fact that it's Technicolor, but it took them a month to settle on the color yellow for the brick road.
Yes.
And that seems excessive.
It. because it was like they were very serious about, like, very intentional, which is kind of what I appreciate about it. They were very intentional about the choices that they made. Now, did they always make great choices that were healthy for their actors? No. But they were
MGM's not known for treating its actors well.
No.
Was it the Tin Man or the Wicked Witch that got poisoned from the paint that they were put in?
Okay, so the initial Tin Man had a very serious reaction to the aluminum that was used in his face paint and was hospitalized and had to be recast.
But wasn't there lead in the Wicked Witch's paint? Isn't that what made it green?
Yes, and so then when she's, like, leaving in the first bit when Dorothy first gets to Oz, when she's like, "You'll pay for this," right? And she goes down in the flames. There was a little elevator door, but it didn't go down fast enough. So she suffered third-degree burns on her arms and face because of the paint.
MGM is just a great moral, ethical company and a perfect example of capitalism being so good.
Well, and I mean, let's also, like, not ignore the fact of how poorly Judy Garland was treated on the set of this film.
It makes me mad.
It's so bad because she was so good. Like, what? There was no need to treat her like that.
They called her Little Hunchback and Ugly Duckling.
They had her on a starvation diet. And she didn't need them.
Yeah. No, they starved her also. Whenever she would ask for food, they would give her soup and lettuce, just dry lettuce. Ew. And they had her on amphetamines and barbiturates. So amphetamines to get her to work, barbiturates to get her to sleep when she needed to, and then amphetamines to wake her back up.
That's awful. That's so bad. It started a
lifelong substance abuse problem she had.
Yeah, that's so bad.
It makes me so angry. They also gave her teeth caps and nose prosthetics.
Yeah.
Because they said she wasn't as pretty as the other stars of the time. And it's like, I would love to see a picture of the man who told her that.
Right? Oh my gosh, like, thank God
for Dottie Pennadel. Thank God for Dottie Pennadel.
Yeah.
Which is her makeup artist that told her she was pretty and, like, fixed her eating disorder, kind of.
Yeah.
For 15 years.
It's fine. Men are
But she's fine. Also the mother of Liza Minnelli, so, like...
Yes. 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 I love Judy Garland.
Do you know what Judy Garland's real name is?
What is her real name?
Frances Gum.
I really like it.
Yeah. They changed her name because gum sounded like glum.
Sure, that's a viable reason to change your name.
So they changed it to Judy Garland, which sounded more profitable. Like, they just... What was done to women in this time period is so disgusting.
So...
Like, yes, disgusting. It still happens now, but not to this extent.
Well, and then there's also the fact that, like, so the director, one of the many directors of this film, I don't remember his name, but he started directing Wizard of Oz and then he had to leave because he had to go direct Gone with the Wind. which is also a rather problematic film.
But I love Gone with the Wind, just because I relate to Scarlett O'Hara and just how she was, like, gonna survive no matter what, no one could stop her. But when I go back and watch the movie, it's physically painful because the only thing I like is her. Everything else is awful.
Yeah, it's really racist. Anywho. Like,
so racist. So racist.
Not the film we're talking about. But, so, back to Wizard of Oz. Gone with the Wind.
Well, MGM, like, is actually known for being racist, so I feel like it's still on topic.
Still on topic. All right. What else do we want to talk
about? But let's also discuss the real story of the Tin Man.
The real story of the Tin Man.
So, MGM changed a lot of things that were in the book because it was like, this was going to be for kids, and the book was not necessarily for kids. It is considered the first American fairy tale, but the book...
It's really funny.
When we say that this movie is, like, about, it's super political and it's about populism and bimetallism and everything, like, the Tin Man, and the reason I brought up unions earlier, the Tin Man's story of how he became the Tin Man in the book is he worked at a factory and would get injured so often and have different limbs and extremities removed, that they were replaced with tin over time until he became the Tin Man. Because he had lost all of his body parts working in a factory.
Skipped right over that in the movie. We did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, this was released in 1939. The book was written in, like, the late 1800s.
Yeah.
And that was at a time when, like, especially with child labor, like, people were dying in factories all the time because of the mistreatment. But sure, regulation's bad. Vote for Biden.
That also reminds me
let's start a new drinking game for our fans. Every time I tell you to vote for Biden, take a shot. You'll get very drunk. sip, not a shot.
Definitely a sip. Yeah, or like the scene where they fall asleep in the field of poppies and asbestos falls on them to act as fake snow.
Yeah. Well, let's also talk about, you know, the heroin problem that was happening in China and America at that time. Yeah. And the fact that they were in a field of poppies.
The field of poppies. It has so many meanings. It's more than just a random field of flowers.
Literally nothing in this story is just what it seems on the surface.
No, it's all
there have been so,
so
many interpretations. Yeah. So my favorite fun fact about the Wizard of Oz is shout out to the people of Tennessee. in 1986, so like recent history, most of our listeners, this will be like your parents' growing up age, right? If not yours. So 1986, a bunch of fundamentalist Christians in Tennessee sued, like they had a lawsuit to ban the Wizard of Oz from being taught in schools, and their reasons are my favorite.
Yep.
Of any frivolous lawsuit. They had depictions of good witches. We can't have that. Nope. That's against Christianity.
Yep.
That the attributes they were all seeking, they didn't like that they were depicted as developed rather than God-given. Because, you know, people can't grow. You're just born who you are.
You're just born who you are. You are born good or evil. There is no option of growth or changing who you are as a person after you found
Jesus. Yeah, they referred to the animal personification as godless supernaturalism.
Right, but the serpent speaks. Well, I guess the serpent is the devil. Okay. Well, I'll let it go for now.
Yeah. And then their biggest issue, and this is a personal favorite because, again, 1986.
More recent.
Females were portrayed as equal to males. We can't have our students taught that.
I'm so glad Barrett is on the court.
Literally what I was thinking. And then the judge kind of ruled in their favor.
Yep.
And said, if you want, like, if you're against it, you can make them pull your kids out of class while they're talking about it.
Yep.
Which, like, oh my god, why do you want your kids to be stupid?
Yeah.
Education is never bad. I'm sorry. Learning more is never bad.
Like, yeah, developing an alternative viewpoint or, like, learning how to see things from, like, other people's perspectives is never a bad idea.
No. And then it was just like, it just made me giggle that it's like, really? This the first American fairy tale is what all you patriots are saying can't be taught in schools.
Yep.
Really?
That's what we're mad about.
Okay, so then we need to also discuss how this is the story of Trump. Okay?
It's the rise of populism. It is.
The rise of populism. This movie came out in 1939, which, like, I understand that it was written earlier and it was most likely put into production several years prior to 1939. But in 1934, Hitler made himself the Führer of Germany.
Yep.
By 1939, that's the year he invaded Poland. And we just happened to release a movie about populism?
Just happened. Okay, real quick, I want to interject this. Finley and I studied international relations and international affairs in college, so we are a little bit obsessed with, like, Hitler and World War II.
I literally have taken five classes that were just about the Holocaust.
Yeah. It's kind of a big deal in shaping modern international relations, so...
It's, like, She says big deal. It is the only deal. Like, it did shape international relations moving forward.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing else you can attribute the UN to.
Yep. So, yeah. So when Finley starts off on this soapbox, come along for the ride with us and learn something.
I am standing up on a soapbox right now. Like, I am climbing the soapbox, so get ready.
Yep, yep. Come along with this ride for us and learn something.
Yeah, but just to be clear, we have taken classes in political economy. We both have degrees in international affairs. We both went to Italy to study this. I also studied it in England. I specialize in Middle Eastern affairs, which have a lot to do with the Holocaust because of Israel. I have taken, let's see, five different classes just about the Holocaust alone, like from comparative literature classes about it to political science classes about it to international affairs classes about it to women's studies classes about it. So, like, don't come at me. I know this stuff.
Okay, but so yeah. I cut you off. So 1939, Hitler and Germany invade Poland.
Poland, yes. And so that was when the UK joined the war. That was when everyone was like, okay, this is serious. That was when World War II is known to have started, September 1st, 1939. Oh, also, my fiance is a history major who actually specializes in World War II also. So, like, I'm very qualified.
You're a World War II nerd. Also, there's a car whose alarm is going off and will not turn off. So, sorry, Finley, for this audio.
Yeah, I literally, that John Mulaney joke about all your dads know about World War II and, like, read World War II books, like, that's me. I am your dad.
I am your dad.
I have no friends, and I know a lot about the World War II. Don't ask me about World War I, but I know World War II. Anyway, so before World War II and before Nixon, we operated as a global economy on the Bretton Woods system. For people who don't know what the Bretton Woods system is, think of it just as the gold standard. Your money was tied to gold. It couldn't really be inflated or deflated artificially because it was backed by gold. And there's a finite amount of gold in the world. There was an argument for bimetallism, which is addressed in Wizard of Oz. That's why I'm talking about it. Where it wasn't going to be just the gold system, it was, or the gold standard. It was going to be both gold and silver. Bimetallism. So, like, two metals.
Makes sense.
And that's why in the book, Dorothy's shoes are silver. I hate to tell you. They're just red because Technicolor.
Yep.
So it was an argument about silver and gold versus just gold. The yellow brick road is a symbolism for the gold standard. Her slippers were a symbolism for silver. And then the Emerald City is cash. So this is very much to be analyzed as a commentary on economics, as well as a commentary on the rise of populism, which, if you aren't aware, is a political ideology in which a candidate does not say anything that aligns with either party's agenda. Excuse me. They are specifically trying to appeal to whatever's popular at the time, get the most support possible from their base. They don't really care about political affiliation as long as they're popular. That's why it's called populism. And they don't really have any, like, morals, ethics, standards, anything like that. Hence why Trump and Hitler are populists. But yeah, that's how most dictators start out. Because it does, fear-mongering and propagandizing really tend to lead to populism.
It's all about accumulating the power.
Yeah, that's all it is. You just want to get as much power as possible. A lot of dictators are populist, or at least they started that way.
You gotta get the
unless they just
capital.
Brutally took over.
Yeah. But even then, like, they would, like, have already had
Putin
the power.
Putin is not populist.
No.
But Trump and Hitler, very much populist. So anyway, back to the, you know, economic side of things. What happened in shortly after this movie came out is called Nixon Shock. And Nixon Shock was where he basically said, okay, we're all in this great economic depression as a result of World War II, and we need to get off the gold standard because it's not working anymore. And unless we can reform the Bretton Woods system, which is the gold standard, we need to get away from it, and basically took the U.S. off of it, which made every other country fall off of it because they were tied to the US dollar. That's why nowadays currency fluctuates so much in terms of trading, in terms of exchange rates. That's why you can't really tell a month in advance if you're going abroad, like Shelby and I both did, whether your money is going to be worth anything or not. Thank you, Nixon, for that. But yeah, we've really moved away from it. I don't know if people are old enough to remember on this, but Ron Paul, not Rand, Rand is a bootlicker, but Ron Paul, his father, whenever he was campaigning for president, was actually trying to get us back on the Bretton Woods system because of the economic crisis we're in now, which was the argument for bimetallism in the first place, and it all is a cycle because the economy is a cycle.
I mean, yeah, this one's been like helped then you deregulate. Along by COVID-19, but
yeah, but yeah, it's all, well, this was actually the 08 crisis that I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
That's when Ron Paul ran, was in 08. Gotcha. But yeah, it definitely is cyclical, and that's why The Wizard of Oz is still relevant, and I think is still the most seen movie in history, because it has so many moments that, like, are just so relevant still, because these issues are cyclical. They don't just stop and start randomly. Like, when it comes to, like, the 50s, it's gonna rear its ugly head. When it's the turn of the century, it's gonna rear its head, and in the middle, God help us, you know? Like, we alternate between super regulation and then complete deregulation because people get mad about the regulation and think it's too much, and then we deregulate and everything goes to crap because capitalism is awful. And then we have to re-regulate it because companies are not ethical. And then people get mad about re-regulation. And then they're like, yay, we're actually doing better under regulation. It goes for 50 years. And people are like, we don't need the regulation anymore. And everything happens all over again. You can look at the last 250 years of the U.S. for proof. Take a deep breath. Anywho, with populism, the wizard is populist.
He is useless and does nothing.
Yeah, and it's all a charade. It's all about power accumulation. This is another thing that the movie took out of the book. In the movie, the Emerald City, everything is actually emerald. Everyone wears green. Everything's emerald. In the book, the wizard makes everybody wear goggles that are green tinted. And the book is more of an allegory than the movie is in terms of, like, it's all a sham. Here, it's just the man behind the curtain. But, like, in the book, he's actually making everyone wear goggles that make them think everything is emerald when it's really not. And that's kind of how cash works. You think it's good, but it's really not.
It's really not.
Because it means nothing.
Yeah, it's just paper that we've decided is currency.
Well, it's technically cotton, but yeah. Mm. That's why it carries COVID. Speaking of, COVID's on the rise. Vote Biden. I'm just going to keep saying it.
We'll have to put it in the description so everybody knows there's a drinking game in this one.
Yeah. Here you go. Vote Biden. Vote Biden. Vote Biden. Now you're tipsy. if you aren't throwing up.
I'll say at this point they're drunk.
Yeah. But, like, we can see the parallels to Trump whenever we talk about the wizard literally says, you know, where he has his henchmen go out and say, there's nothing to worry about. Don't be protesting. Everything's fine. You're worried for nothing. Go home. Trump does that on the daily.
We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
I don't want to pay for it, Shelby. We can't afford it.
It's like 2 seconds.
We'll see. MGM is very strict about this movie, so I'm kind of scared to release this podcast, I'm not gonna lie.
It falls under free and fair use because we're not gonna make any money off of it.
Perfect. Nobody make us famous. We can't afford to make money off of
it. Well, no, like, regardless, like, we're not gonna have sponsorships turned on for it, so, like, it's free and fair use.
Okay, cool.
We're protected by the law.
Well, under Amy Coney Barrett, are we? Anywho. Vote Biden. But yeah, then, you know, whenever he's telling them, oh, you just have to complete a small task. It's murder.
It's a lot of murder. That's kind of what always gets me cracked up whenever I, like, you know, think back as a child watching this and thinking it was all entirely appropriate. Like, the Munchkins were singing about the death of the witch. Like, the house began to pitch and pitch and took a switch. It landed on the Wicked Witch in the middle of a ditch, which was not a great thing. I forget the rest of it. It's like, was not a good thing, healthy thing for the witch who began to twitch. Like,
yeah.
And then they have to go kill her sister.
Yeah. Like, I mean, low-key, Dorothy's a serial killer, and the witch just wanted her sister's shoes. Yep. What's so wrong about that?
Yep. Yep. Also, well, this will come up with Wicked. Why is the witch evil?
Yeah. Like, yeah, she's got monkeys, but so what?
So what? Well,
everyone has henchmen.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
If you want to get, like... If you want to get really technical, I feel like the Munchkins are Glenda's henchmen, so. Yeah. Anyway.
You're not
back
wrong.
To how the wizard is Trump.
Pay no attention whenever, to the man behind the curtain.
Honestly. But also, whenever he gives out the gifts, where he's like, I'm going to give you a heart and a brain and courage. And it's all within you all along. That is what Trump does.
Just gaslights them.
He cannot fulfill his promises, so he'll give you some sham gift that you think is equivalent and is really nothing.
Yep.
Like, here's looking at his platinum plan for African Americans and people of color.
He is the least racist person in that room.
The least racist person since Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson is probably the most racist after Trump.
Freudian slip.
Yeah. He is more like Andrew Jackson than anyone else. Remember when we called him King Andrew and the Patriots rose up against him because he was trying to be a dictator?
Whoops.
Okay. All I'm saying is, y'all Trump supporters that call yourselves Patriots, if this were the American Revolution, you would have been loyalists and you know it.
You
don't care about America.
Finley came hard tonight.
Finley has feelings. Okay. Just also, I think it's really important to note before we run out of time that Judy Garland herself was a vocal supporter of the Democrats. She was a supporter of the Civil Rights Movement. She was part of the March on Washington. And because Trump has this plan to get rid of everyone who he deems not loyal enough to him and to replace all these executive branch people that he can, like, fair play, he can do it, but it's not okay.
Yep.
And anyway, she was part of this Hollywood League that actively fought against the House on Un-American Affairs Committee and McCarthyism. And if you're on the side of the House on American Affairs Committee, like, read a book. Read a book. Crack a book,
read a
John.
Book.
Crack a book. It's...
Who is it who says that?
So not okay what's happening right now. Sorry, this election week is next week, and Shelby and I will be together, not on election night, but for the next recording, and there's a very good chance we will be sobbing if Trump wins. Fair warning.
Yeah. We're watching Hamilton next week.
We've been on theme. We have a plan.
There's a reason we did Wizard of Oz the week before the election. It was definitely to talk about populism. Like,
yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not sure any of our listeners are Trump supporters, especially at this point. This is like episode 8 of us railing against him. But
well, I started it by calling Barrett a homophobic
homophobic cult member.
Yeah. So, you know, if you didn't have a clue as to where the political affiliations of this podcast went.
I do apologize for just kind of taking over and ranting this entire podcast, but I felt like it was necessary.
Yeah, the movie was a flimsy excuse to extend the rant of the week section. And next week we'll talk about
Hamilton. Did both watch it, though.
We did. All right, what's your favorite song from Wizard of Oz?
Oh, easily Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Oh, okay. My favorite is the one that didn't actually make it into the movie.
Shelby, that doesn't count.
I love the jitterbug. It was an outtake. They didn't have time for it, so they had to cut it. But if it doesn't count, then I love the entire sequence in Munchkinland. The house began to pitch and pitch and took a switch.
Again, you've already named all the lyrics. If we have to pay for this, I'm going to riot. It'll be coming from your account, ma'am.
They can try. There's nothing there.
Yeah, I'm a federal employee.
Yeah, we can't name what I do for a living because this is very political. But I make no money. Rest assured.
Be rest assured, I also make no money because I am unemployed. So it's a fun time. Ooh. Oh, do you think this podcast is going to hurt my ability to get a job?
I mean, there's a reason we haven't mentioned our last names.
Fair. I don't have social media anymore, so I'm not tied to it in any way.
Yeah.
And for all the rest of you, you should delete Facebook because, yes, it is just an extension of the Trump campaign.
And it's radicalizing you, or at least it's radicalizing me.
No, it definitely radicalizes everyone. Yeah. Like, what was that documentary? Everyone needs to go watch it. It's on Netflix. It's about Facebook.
Social Dilemma.
Yes, The Social Dilemma. Go watch it. Get drunk. Enjoy. Vote Biden. That is our podcast.
Happy Halloween. Although I guess this is coming out after Halloween, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll either come out on Halloween or the day after.
I stand by it.
Happy Halloween. I'm kind of sad because like I was excited to like have a house and have trick-or-treaters and then COVID.
Oh yeah, we didn't have
any trick-or-treaters.
I still
bought a ton of candy, but that's for me.
So I didn't buy any candy this year.
I bought 3 bags.
Dang.
I have 500 pieces of candy downstairs because I know who I am as a person. I got all my favorites. I got Swedish Fish. I got Milk Duds. I got Sour Patch Kids. I put them in the freezer because I know what's up. If you're not eating your Swedish Fish and Sour Patch Kids out of the freezer, you're messing up. Also, your Milk Duds. Those need to go in the freezer too. I couldn't find Dots this year. Did they stop making Dots?
Oh, I don't know. I have Mike and Ike's.
Ooh, I should have gotten Mike and Ike's.
Yeah, they had a little bag of Mike and
Yeah,
Ike's.
Then I got a lot of chocolate for my fiance because he likes Reese's and stuff. But
oh, my phone's about to die.
Oh, and I got Twizzlers.
Should we stop recording?
No, I think this is necessary. All right, y'all. Go like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Although our Twitter is not very active,
I'm sorry, Shelby. Yeah, that was looking at me. I can barely keep the Instagram and Facebook page updated. I'm going to make an effort, y'all.
Also, you know, as usual, send in your CVs for both The Great Emmy Award, the musical, any help you can give with that, and Shelby's soulmate. We also want you to rate us from 1 to 10. Still, please rate us from 1 to 10. I know, I will call out our listeners by name if nobody rates us 1 to 10 next week. And you all know who you are. That is a threat. I know your last names. No, I'm just kidding. I won't name your last names, but I will call you out, your first names. Yeah. Bye, y'all. Happy Halloween. Vote Biden.
We're off to see the wizard!